The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome along to William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast. It's The Punt, looking at selected matches in the fourth round of the FA Cup. Dave Kellner here, alongside Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern, to talk you through 10 matches in the FA Cup this weekend. First of all, it's a good morning to Mr. Derek McGovern. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Yeah, smashing. Looking forward to the FA Cup. Not.
It's always a week. Just get through this week, Derek. The Premier League will be back next week.
Oh, dear. I mean, everyone goes on about the romance of the FA Cup. You link it with romance only because it costs you bundles.
and the promise is always better than the actual thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, I was reading a survey revealed this week that 50% of Brits spend less than £10 a month on romance. And there's a name for people like that. Men.
And completing the team here in the studio, the man that seemingly lets down the punt treble every single weekend, Derek.
Seemingly. Well, seemingly is another word. That's just not true.
It's just correct, I think. I don't think that's another word for...
I don't think so. I mean, maybe...
Definite fact.
Last week.
Yeah.
Not the week before.
No. Okay.
Two Lulus we had, didn't we, last week? You had Stoke, 2-1 or something like that? 5-2?
Yep.
I don't think it was 5-2, was it? 6-4, maybe.
And then Lee has to mess it out. 155 goals. Somebody scored in the 8th minute. Nice. Messed it up again. Lee, I know I'll give you stick, but I love every bone in your head.
I'm going to go back to basics this week.
Good. I'm looking forward to
Chelsea
it.
To beat Bradford.
Let's get stuck in then. And we'll start off with the televised matches as per usual. Starting with Cambridge. Cambridge United taking on Manchester United tonight. 7:55 p.m. kickoff. Cambridge 12-1, the draw 11-2, Manchester United 1-5. Lee, very similar setup to the match against Yeovil in many ways. Took them until half time to break Yeovil down. Could possibly be the same case again here. Cambridge 12th in League Two. They've strung a couple of good results back to back in the league since beating Luton in round three of this competition. I suppose the dream for Cambridge would be to get a draw here and take them back to Old Trafford.
Yeah, of course, the money spinner. I mean, there's a big gap, isn't there? Try to make a case for Cambridge to get something out of the game, because obviously 12-1 is a big price, but it's a very big gap. They're not even doing particularly well in League Two, Cambridge. The form recently has not been bad. It's 1-8 at home. And they won the last couple of games as well. Get your own pen. They beat Luton. I'm not using it, but I just don't want to give you it now after that introduction. Cambridge, they beat Luton 2-1 in the last round. Beat Newport County last time out 4-0. So, you know, they're relatively confident. United, I mean, that I still remember that defeat at MK Dons when they lost 4-0 in the League Cup. And obviously, they were all over the place then. But they didn't ease past Yeovil 2-0. It was a bit of a struggle, like you said.
Yeah.
I suppose when you've got the quality of, you know, Di Maria on the pitch and Herrera and the rest, sooner or later, you imagine they're going to, even if they're going to ping one from outside the area, something's going to fly in. So I think I'd have to go for Manu. But I'm happy to have a look at Cambridge to keep things very tight. You know, the half-time draw, full-time, Man United is an obvious bet because it'll be difficult there Friday night. You know, if it's the pictures of the dressing rooms have been all over Twitter and all that, so obviously it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system to some of the players. The draw, half time, full time, Man U is 100-30, which isn't bad. For the less intrepid, maybe me, basically, you're probably looking at maybe look at the 30-minute markets and look at it to be a draw at 30 minutes. If you don't think they can quite last out till half time, it's only 10-11 though. So that's it's not the best price in the world, but I think that could land. Man United haven't been brilliant away from home, and I don't see anything much changing there, to be honest with you.
Draw Manchester United does look interesting.
Same happened at QPR as well, didn't it?
In the lead up to this match, Derek, all the talk has been about the formation, Manchester United's formation. Everywhere you see they should be playing 4-4-2 instead of 3-5-2 and so on and so forth. And the Man United fans, in their last away game at QPR, they took to chanting 4-4-2 at the manager. I'd just rather them get back to abusing the referee, in all honesty. Every time you go anywhere, you've got 10,000 fans who think they've played too much Championship Manager.
Well, I know. And I mean, it always tickles me when fans tell the manager how to pick his tactics. Sometimes it's needed, you know, Aston Villa, for instance. But, you know, this is a guy who's been around, you know, international football. I think he knows probably more than most fans, although he's disguising that fact right now. I mean, you do have to worry about him something, because his great thought last week was having Phil Jones taking corners. And if you're a Man United fan, the only thing you want Jones taking is a sabbatical. I mean, I don't know what he's playing at Van Gaal, but he's convinced that his methods work. And the thing is, this is a gimme, isn't it? It's a buy. It's a buy for United. One to five to win, and win they will, but no one's going to be backing them at 1-5. I can't believe the difference in 1-5 and 4-5 Man United to win without conceding, which is how they got to do Yeovil. They've kept clean sheets in three of their last five games.
Yeah.
That looks an absolute gimme to me, that 4-5 without conceding. One thing I did notice in the paper today, by the way, Wayne Rooney played for Man United for centuries now. Never won the FA Cup in his career. That's a big surprise, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting, that, yeah.
Right, the biggest surprise, by the way, is Rooney going to Cambridge. You know, actually, he does study the classics, especially the St. Ledger.
He's never been invited to do one of those keynote addresses, has he, Rooney? Maybe after this game he will.
I took medicine at Cambridge. Feel a lot better now.
I like that bet though. 2-0, 4-5. There's a massive disparity in the prices between 1-5 and 4-5. Obviously,
do you want to get a room or what?
It's true.
Jeez.
It's true. I like that bet. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Blackburn. Swansea.
A couple of midweeks ago, I had three winners.
You've not had a winner for yonkies. That's a cross between donkeys and years.
That's a great word.
Yeah, yonkies. Blackburn versus Swansea, Saturday, 12:45 p.m. Blackburn 21-10, draw 21-10, Swansea 7-5. Jordan Rose to score and Blackburn to win is 5-1. Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 4-1. Derek, both these sides enduring a difficult spell at the moment. Blackburn drawn 2, lost 2 and won 1 in their last 5. Swansea an identical record to that. Both teams in mid-table as well. Swansea in the Premier League, obviously, and Blackburn in the Championship. Got the feeling this competition offers a little bit of respite to both clubs.
Yeah. When you look at matches like this, you look at the league tables to see, are Swansea safe? Do they want to, you know, be an FA Cup run? Same with Blackburn. Are they really serious about going for a playoff place in the Championship? It's come to something, isn't it? And that's what you have to think is factor in when you're looking at an FA Cup match. In brutal honesty, I haven't got a clue about this game. Neither side playing particularly well. Swansea were absolutely mullered by Chelsea last week, and I followed them mullering them by Liverpool a few weeks earlier. So, you know, they are capable of throwing in a howler. In the last round, they battered Tranmere 6-2, and I thought Tranmere would give them a decent game. I have to say, they don't deserve to be as short as 7-5 here, Swansea. I can see a replay here. I'll go for the draw, but it's not a game I'll be having a bet on.
21-10 for the draw for Derek. Interesting to see if there's an immediate response to that 5-0 drubbing at Chelsea that Swansea received. Gary Monk apologised to not only the fans but Jose Mourinho as well for not giving his team a game. They've definitely got something to prove, Swansea.
I'm not having that.
It was weird, wasn't it?
I'm not having you apologising to the opposition manager like he's some sort of... Oh, yeah, he is a god. That's fair enough, I get it now. but, I mean, this isn't just like there's just been smashed to bits by Chelsea and that's the first bad result. You know, they've been on a bit of a sticky patch for a while. That 6-2 win at Tranmere Rovers is the only win in five. You know, in that spell, they've conceded 13 goals. They lost 4-1 at Liverpool. Liverpool really beat them pretty easy as well. They drew with QPR, fair enough. Then the win against Tranmere, drew with West Ham, and then the beating by Chelsea. You know, I'll keep going on about it, but you know, the lack of goals from Boney is going to cost them. It's going to be a problem for them until they replace them. Now, Gomis has to step up. I mean, to be fair, he did score 2 goals against Tranmere Rovers. So, you know, that he might be worth looking at. I mean, he's 29-20 to score any time here, which, you know, against Championship opposition, is that his level maybe? You know, somewhere between kind of Championship and Premier League.
Yeah.
There's some decent prices for goal scorers. If you think Swansea are going to win this game, I mean, Gylfi Sigurdsson 17-10 to score against Blackburn. But Blackburn haven't been scoring themselves at home recently, and have only conceded 1 goal in the last 3 Championship matches at Ewood Park. The goals haven't been flowing. The only time you've seen an over 2.5 5 was against Charlton in the FA Cup the previous round. 2 wins in 8 since that good run in December for Blackburn. I'd be tempted to go for them, I must admit, because I'm kind of against Swansea even more now than I have been, but... Nothing really on those outright prices tempts me. I'm not bothered by Blackburn at 21-10. The draw, not really. And as Derek said, I'm not really keen on Swansea at 7-5. I think I'm going to play on the goals here, and I think it's going to be a tight one. As I said, Blackburn are keeping it pretty tight at home at the minute. I think Swansea, after the 5-0, will look to keep it tight and not give too much away against this opposition. So I'm going to go for under 2.5 is 4-5. I'm going to chance an under 1.5 here at 12-5.
Okay.
I think it could be a very tight game that Swansea maybe just nicked near the end.
Blackburn are 21-10, the draw 21-10, Swansea 7-5. Derek going with the draw at 21-10, and Lee looking at under 1.5 goals here at 12-5. Next up, it's Liverpool versus Bolton, Saturday 5:30 p.m. Liverpool 1-3, the draw 4-1, Bolton 8-1. Headline offers: Raheem Sterling to score and Liverpool to win is 5-4. Emil Heskey to score and Bolton to win. Yeah. He's 22-1. Impressive performance from Liverpool against Chelsea at Anfield midweek. Raheem Sterling looked terrific in that front role, and Lazar Markovic has stepped up considerably as well. Energy they showed.
He fell down a bit as well, didn't he?
He did as well, yeah. But the energy they showed was terrific. Looked to have rediscovered their mojo as well, Liverpool, Lee. Only one loss in 15 now.
Yeah, they've been getting better, haven't they? I know Brendan Rodgers has been going on about this, and you know people have been kind of questioning that, but I think the performances have been getting better. 2 clean sheets away from home at Sunderland and Aston Villa, that's where their problem lies. You know, we've said this all season long. You can moan about not replacing the Suarez goals, but if you keep them out at the other end, it doesn't have help. So they've started to do that. Obviously, the goal for Chelsea was an avoidable penalty, quite a rare mistake from Chan these days. People are talking about him in glowing terms, like he's maybe going to be a mainstay of that Liverpool defence for a few seasons to come.
Bolton, do you think so? He strikes me as a midfielder playing in defence.
Well, that's what they like, don't they? They like ball-playing midfielders who can get the ball and do something with it.
Yeah, he's got the pace. He'll get found out. He's too slow. He's too slow at the back.
Carragher was blessed, wasn't he, with that pace?
Yeah.
And then he got found out year after year. So I think Liverpool are getting back to their best. And I don't think they'll weaken too much for this, because this is a genuine chance of a trophy here for Liverpool. And I think that, you know, Brendan Rodgers has said, you know, we never thought we were going to win the Premier League this year, but we would like to win a trophy, obviously. So, you know, great chance. They should. I think they'll get past Bolton relatively easy. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a win to nil. 1-3. I mean, you get Liverpool at around that sort of price in the Premier League against some teams, so it's probably not that bad a price for an acca. I'm confident they'll win it. My two thoughts were to either go for the -1, that's 3-4, or the Liverpool just to win to nil.
11-10 Liverpool to win to nil.
Because of the price, I'd rather go for that. If you don't agree with that and you think they can get a goal at Bolton, have a look at Darren Pratley. He's scored in each of the last 3 away games for Bolton, and he's priced up at 6-1. I mean, it might just be a player that you like. I mean, he's not scored loads of goals this season. He just seems to be in a rich vein of form at the minute. So, you know, that might be worth a look at the prices. It's a big price for a guy who's obviously in a good bit of nick. But I'm going to go for Liverpool to nil.
Okay, Liverpool to nil for Lee at 11-10. Got a decent record against Bolton as well, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Prior to their last meeting, which Bolton won back in January 2012, they'd won 10 straight against Bolton. So I like playing Bolton.
Yeah, well, they do at home, anyway. They've won 13 in the last 15 at home to Bolton. I mean, you mentioned Emil Heskey, former Liverpool player, of course, but there's also Jay Spearing playing for Bolton as well, a former Liverpool player. He might be in the team, mightn't he? Liverpool, though, you've got to worry. I know 1-3 looks a fair price because you do see them at home shorter than that against Premier League opposition. But you've got that replay against Chelsea coming up next Tuesday. And, you know, you say that Liverpool want to win the trophy, and it's... The League Cup's almost there for them, isn't it? They put on a performance next Tuesday. So I'm not sure what kind of setup, what kind of team they'll play in this match. And you rightly mentioned Sterling against Chelsea and also Markovic, but the man who took my eye was Coutinho. I thought he was absolutely sensational. And I notice he's 11 to 10 to score here. I think he's always reliable to score, Coutinho. I think he's a tremendous player. Gets licensed to Rome as well. What I'm saying basically is, yeah, I think Liverpool will win. But I don't want to back a team at 1-3 when they might just have an eye on what's coming up 3 days later. I'd rather back Coutinho to score at any time, 11-10.
Do you think that Gerrard might pop up as well? He's got 3 in his last 2 in the FA Cup, playing in that more prominent role. Do you think he'll start this game?
Who's that, did you say?
Gerrard.
Remember him?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I don't think he will. I don't think he'll start, actually. No, I'm pretty sure he'll play against Chelsea on Tuesday instead.
By the way, I thought he looked somewhere near... not his best, but, you know, somewhere near good form again against Chelsea. I thought he was all over the place. Obviously, great effort that was tipped over the bar. And then the one that hit the post near the end was a great block, actually, from whoever it was who blocked it.
It was someone, wasn't it? It was one of those players.
Yeah. Ivanovic.
Can we just before we go off this game, by the way, can we mention my mate Diego Costa? How pony is he? Come on.
I admit I was right. I'm not having it.
Oh, dear me. You know what? The press can't have a go at him yet because they were the same. They were saying how brilliant he was because he scored a few goals early on. So the finger and gun. We can't say he's crap because we'll look daft. Give it a few weeks. The knives will
be. He has gone a game without a goal now, yeah. Costa.
To be fair to Derek, if you sat at home listening and shaking your head thinking, what's he on about? He did say this about Torres when he was like top scorer in the Premier League, and we were like, Derek, he's scoring goals for fun. And then eventually he was proven right after he got kneecapped.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Wait till Costa rips his hamstring in two. And Derek can be like, I told you he's got no pace, this lad.
Liverpool are 1-3, the draw 4-1, Bolton 8-1 in that match. Do check out those headline offers. Raheem Sterling to score, Liverpool to win 5-4, Emil Heskey to score and Bolton to win 22-1. On to Sunday's matches, televised 2 p.m. kickoff between Bristol City and West Ham. Bristol City 14-5, the draw 11-5, West Ham 21-20. Intriguing match this one, Derek, because Bristol City in form, got a couple of in form strikers as well in Matt Smith and J. Emmanuel Thomas. Thomas in particular, he's got 7 in his last 8 in the FA Cup and he's scored 4 in his last 4. They are going well in the league. Them and Swindon 6 points clear of the rest in League 1. Interesting match this one.
Yeah, it is. And any other season, I'd give Bristol City a real good shout in this game because, you know, they're playing a team managed by Sam Allardyce who he looks upon the FA Cup the way he looks upon an unexpected bill. He just doesn't, you know, he never really gives it a run, Sam Allardyce. But he's been told by the gaffers at Upton Park to give, to make a cup run his top priority. Well, that and a diet. I'm going to go for West Ham here. I've just got a sneaking fancy that they'll do something in the cup. I can understand why punters will go for Bristol City here. Their home record is fantastic. They've got the scoring goals. They've only conceded 9 goals at home all season. Won 9 and drawn 2 out of 12 games. I mean, you know, but it is League One. And this is a West Ham side who, you know, don't roll over for anybody, do they? I don't know what it is. It's more, I should be going for Bristol City here. I should do. Normally I would. I've just got a feeling this we could see a decent run from West Ham this year.
It is a different West Ham than in previous seasons, Lee. They seem to have the squad strength to be able to compete in both the league and the cup, despite the absences of those on international duty.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter now. They've got 36 points already. At this point of the season, you know, I don't necessarily agree with managers who weaken down for the FA Cup to potentially save players and be ready for the Premier League. I think you should try and win every game and then you get confidence from it. But it's obviously it's understandable, you know, when you've got the owners breathing down your neck saying we cannot go out of the Premier League and you're on 19 points or something daft. And, you know, why would you, you know, field a fully strength team? Interesting to see what Sunderland do, for instance, in that kind of situation. Against Fulham, but you know West Ham are safe almost. You know they'll be having a party in a week or two to celebrate safety, and you know, and fantastic for them. So why not? There's no excuse for not going for this and playing your strongest team, in my opinion. I think Carroll, the way he's been playing, will be something a bit different for the Bristol City defenders. You know, as well as they've been doing, and Derek, you know, rightfully points out that home form. I mean, it's fantastic. You know that they've been playing so well. scored 23 goals at home and conceded 9 in 12 games with losing that one. Scored 48 goals in total this season, Bristol City, which is right up there amongst the highest scorers in English football. Both teams to score is 4-6, which is I was hoping it could be a little big. I was hoping that you know the bookies might give us a bit more than that. I think it's going to be a high scorer, this one. West Ham should win it. I think, you know, West Ham and over 2.5 is I think that'll land. Because there comes a time, I think, of the two teams, Bristol City might be the ones who don't need the cup run. Joint 54 points with Swindon at the top of the table. Last thing they need is more games at the moment. So West Ham to win and over at 2.5 is priced up at 19-10. I wouldn't even be surprised if we had four or more in the game. Match result and four or more goals in the match is 4-1 for West Ham.
Okay.
I think that's decent. I can see them scoring two or three easy, West Ham.
On to the Sunday 4 p.m. kickoff, Brighton versus Arsenal. Brighton 11-2, the draw 11-4. Arsenal in the market at 4-7. Headline offers here: Chris O'Grady to score and Brighton to win is 12-1. Theo Walcott to score and Arsenal to win in the market at 3-1. Great result, Lee, for Arsenal away at Manchester City. I thought David was mad when he put it up, but
yeah,
good bet and commanding performance in the last round against Hull as well, winning 2-0. Francis Coquelin appears to have made the difference to this Arsenal side. People have been raving about him, just what they needed, a defensive midfielder, and came good at City. Really strong performance.
Yeah, very good. I mean, you look at, you know, we talk about that, you know, since they beat Borussia Dortmund, they've lost twice. They lost at Stoke and lost at Southampton. They've drawn one game at Liverpool and won the rest. So, you know, it's a really, really good run they've got themselves into. It's a total of 10 wins in that spell. The last 3-0, the whole game, the Stoke game, where they were very good against Stoke. And I think that Stoke game, correct if I'm wrong, though, it was probably the one that made you really fancy Arsenal strong.
Yeah.
I mean, the price was good as well, of course. But, yeah, you know, I remember you saying you were really impressed with them against Stoke. And it takes a bit to impress Derek when it comes to Arsenal, to be fair.
Right,
so, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
You know, there's no reason why they don't go and just do a job here, is there, to be honest with you? If, you know, the only problem you've got is it's Arsenal. And can you get the same kind of performance out of them again? I mean, we've seen it three times in a row now, to be fair. They should maintain that level now and go and put the, you know, go to Brighton and you know, and win 2-0 and then get back into the league, because they've got Aston Villa next and they've got Tottenham. You know, this is a great chance for Arsenal to really grab that top four spot by the scruff of the neck. I think they will do it.
They've got a good FA Cup pedigree under Wenger as well, haven't
great,
they?
Great, yeah. I mean, you know, the amount of times they've been in the final over the last 20-odd years is amazing. As with the other, you know, top clubs in the Premier League. But let's just talk about Brighton for a second. I mean, they were in all sorts of bother before Chris Hughton took over. And now the run is 4 wins out of 5. They lost to Brentford in the Championship, but they've been winning 2-0. They won away from home consecutively at Fulham, at Brentford in the Cup, and then at Charlton. Then lost to Brentford at home and beat Ipswich. I mean, Ipswich have been flying. They beat them 3-2. So I don't think this is going to be easy. I think Chris Hughton will get them set up very well. I just think Arsenal will get there in the end. What I'm debating is whether to go to Arsenal 2-0 or Arsenal and over 2.5. It's whether Brighton can score a goal against Arsenal. I'm going to say yes. I think Arsenal will slip off a little bit. I don't think they're capable of maintaining that 100% concentration that you need to put in performances like they have been. I think they'll treat this as a bit of a day off, if you like. But I think they'll win still. So Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals in the match is my shout.
It's 11-10, Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals in the match. Brighton, by the way, only lost one of their last 12 matches at home in the FA Cup. That was against Arsenal, though, back in January 2013, Arsenal beat them 3-2. What do you make of this one, Derek?
Well, yeah, why should Brighton score against Arsenal? I mean, Man City didn't, Stoke didn't, Hull didn't. This is a side, you know, that were plumb bottom of the Championship until a few weeks ago. We put together a great run, definitely. But they've been meeting Charlton and Brentford and, you know, teams like that. They haven't been meeting Arsenal. Yeah, you're right, Lee. That Stoke game that Arsenal won 3-0, you know, that they did make me think again about them. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. And, you know, one thing about Arsenal, in these kind of FA Cup games against low division opposition, I don't remember them ever making any mistakes. They seem to polish them. I remember one game in particular a few years ago against Watford, and people were saying, Watford could give me a goal here, a game here. I think they won about 4 or 5-0, just wiped the floor with them. That was a Championship side. I don't remember them slipping up in this competition against the likes of Brighton. And they'll win this. Again, you know, it's Arsenal and they're long odds on to win the game and you're thinking, FA Cup match. But to win 2-0, 11-8. The discrepancy always, I mean, I've been in betting a zillion years and the discrepancy between to win and to win 2-0 shouldn't surprise me, but it keeps on surprising me. I'm sure, I know there's mathematical formulas bookies use for this kind of thing, but they're wrong. 11-8 for Arsenal to win 2-0 is a gift.
Arsenal 4-7 to win the match, draw 11-4, Brighton 11-2.
One of the quirky things about Arsenal over the last, like, I think 10 FA Cup matches, 9 FA Cup matches, the amount of home games they've had is incredible. They've only had 2 away ties in the last 9. One was at Wigan when they won on penalties, and the other one was away at Brighton when they won 3-2 in 2013. So yeah, and that's the kind of thing I'm thinking of. I don't expect them to lose or anything. I just think that they might just, you know, they look great. And I just wonder if they'll just go off a bit. If you'll rest one too many players and allow Brighton to get a goal. That's all I'm thinking.
The last of the televised games this weekend is Rochdale versus Stoke, Monday 8 p.m. Rochdale 9-2, the draw 5-2, Stoke 7-10. Headline offers Ian Henderson to score and Rochdale to win 9-1. Boyan to score and Stoke to win is 5-2. Derek, we've got a good League One side here in Rochdale taking on a decent Premier League side in Stoke. Rochdale have won 3 of their last 5 and sit 5th in the league. Decent victory in round 3 as well against Nottingham Forest. Entirely different test though here against Stoke.
Yeah. This is what the cup's all about, isn't it?
Spotland on a Monday night.
On a Monday night.
Wow.
Jesus.
This pitch will be something else as well, apparently. Apparently it's a complete mud bath.
Is it really, yeah?
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, you would have said a year ago that would have played into Stoke's hands. I like Stoke. I think I'm always prepared to back them because they're probably one of the few teams in the Premier League that bookies consistently underrate. I've won a few bob on them this season. And they're not far off evens to beat a League One side, you know, and this is a week after going to a Premier League side and winning. I'm going to Everton a few weeks earlier than that and winning there too. They've also won at Man City, I think, as well this season. Stoke.
Yeah.
You've got a manager who loves the FA Cup. Can't see him fannying around playing, you know, under strength teams in this one. There's also an argument for Rochdale, even though they're in League One, thinking, hang on, you know, we've got a chance of automatic promotion here. Do we, you know? Maybe not automatic promotion, but playoffs, definitely. Would they weaken down? I can't see it being a League One side, but you never know nowadays. Stoke will win this, 8-11.
Stoke to win the match. It's one of those situations, Derek, I suppose, where they've got to think about things financially as well, haven't they, Rochdale? Could they afford to weaken down?
Yeah, that's true. I was just probably trying to strengthen my case for Stoke even more than it was, and I didn't need to. One thing I'd say about Stoke, by the way, around double the odds of West Ham to win the FA Cup. Now, I think West Ham will do well in the FA Cup this season, but, you know, the shorter in the betting to reach round 5 than West Ham are,
yep,
and yet they're double the odds. You know, you can get the, I think the Stoke are around, West Ham around a 16 mark, Stoke around a 33-1 mark. Doesn't make, that illustrates what I said earlier. Mm. Bookies just don't rate them, and I don't know why.
Who are your pick to win the FA Cup? Just have interest.
Stoke are they were before the last round. Well,
yeah.
No, after
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. Who do you two fancy?
I quite like West Ham, if I'm being honest. I do think they've got, like, you know, and I take your point that the, you know, the price isn't great, but I just think the position they're in at the minute with the goal scorers they've got and, you know, the match winners they've got on their day. I think Stoke, I know what you mean about Stoke. They just, now and again, they chuck in a bad performance, and I just worry about that. Whereas West Ham are usually pretty solid, but yeah, I can see you. I can see your reasoning with the prices completely. Mm-hmm. It looks a decent bet that you should get a good run out of. Do you know the interesting thing? I mean, when you look back over the last 10 years at the finals, you generally get a team outside the top six, so it's well worth looking at these teams. You know, you had Hull, of course, Wigan, Stoke played Man City, of course, in 2010-11, Pompey in 2009, Cardiff, Portsmouth in 2007, West Ham against Liverpool, Millwall. You know, you go back even further. The other amazing thing, I was looking through the FA Cup winners, was that since 1990-91, when Tottenham played Forest, there's only been one final since then that hasn't featured Man United, Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool or Arsenal.
Yeah.
And that was that Cardiff-Portsmouth game. And that's a long old time for those, you know, those five clubs. They're always in the final. So, you know, it's all right going for an outsider, but I'd be looking at each way, because chances are when you get there, you're going to get beaten, unless you're Wigan against City, of course.
Well, I know what you mean, but and you're also getting half the odds as well in each way. So, that, you know, rather than the third or the fourth or quarter, you normally sway. One other thing apropos of nothing, by the way. You know when Liverpool played West Ham and they almost lost, apart from Steven Gerrard's, you know, brilliance in the last couple of minutes. Now, if West Ham had beaten Liverpool that day, it would have been a minor surprise. It would have been a surprise, but you know, not a shock, not shockwaves. And yet, when Wimbledon beat Liverpool, you know, it was like, what's going on? The world's gone mad. Yeah. And yet, Wimbledon finished seventh that year.
Yes, yeah.
A lot higher than West Ham finished that season.
Mm. Stoke are 28-1 in the betting for the FA Cup here with Hills, and West Ham in the market at 16s. I think Manchester United might win the FA Cup this time.
If you were picking a single figure price, that would be my bet. What about Liverpool West Ham final with Gerrard's pretty much final game for Liverpool, and he scores the winner in the 94th minute? Yeah. West Ham would love that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. What price is that?
Go down the tree, wouldn't it?
4-1.
Lee, your thoughts on Rochdale Stoke?
Yeah. Pretty similar to Derek's, really. I think Stoke will win. And I don't really think, you know, you need to go much further than that, to be honest with you. I think Rochdale will make it hard for them, though. You know, Stoke's 3-1 win against Wrexham, I mean, that was hard work. They conceded to Wrexham, didn't they, in the 73rd minute, and then scored three. It's almost like that shocked them into some sort of form, almost. But everything Derek said about Mark Hughes, you know, loves the cup, he'll have them up for it. You know, they've got 29 points. You know, there shouldn't be any worries about safety for Stoke. I think they'll manage it. So yeah, good cup run, of course. And as we mentioned, you know, the Stoke fans have probably, you know, still got you know decent memories of going to Wembley, and all right, they were beaten by Man City in the end, but you know, still a fantastic day out and a great run. And that's what clubs like Stoke should be concentrating on now. They're not going to win the Premier League. They're not going to even qualify for the Champions League. So it's a cup win, and a Europa League qualification is what they've got to aim for. So yeah, 7-10 for Stoke to win this. But I think it could be goals again, to be honest with you. You know, Rochdale have been scoring goals. Stoke conceded to Wrexham in the last round. So you know, if you don't like the 7-10, but you fancy Stoke, then Stoke to win and over 2.5 goals is worth a look. The other one I like is Bojan to score and Stoke to win 5-2. His trickery might just be a little bit too much for Rochdale if he can get out of the mud.
He's super, isn't he?
He could tee it up, though, couldn't he? The mud might be a bit of a problem for him.
Let's move on to the selected non-televised matches this weekend. Birmingham West Brom, first of all, Saturday 3 p.m. Birmingham 14-5, draw 21-10, West Brom 11-10. Lee, these two sides have met seven times in the FA Cup, and West Brom have progressed on six occasions. Mm-hmm. He appears, Tony Pulis, to have added a little bit of steel to this West Brom side. It was a dour match on Monday night, wasn't it, away at Everton, ended in a 0-0 draw after Kevin Morales missed that
pretty much
that penalty.
Exactly. No, see, no one's mentioned that game. You know, you only concentrate on the nap. We do 10 games and you concentrate on the nap.
It's all about the nap.
Nailed that one.
Did you really? I couldn't even remember.
It's
funny.
Yeah.
It's bound to be a tense match, this one. A lot of big rivalry between the two clubs. Just wonder whether Birmingham have got the quality to break West Brom down. You'd imagine West Brom set up similarly to the way they did away at Everton. It's the way I see this one panning out.
Yeah. I think Pulis will know, though, that with 22 points on the board, that he's got bigger fish to fry than the FA Cup this year. I'm not saying that they're going to go out on purpose, but I don't think it will see the strongest West Brom team here. Birmingham, they've had a really good resurgence, you know, full credit to them, because ever since they were beaten 8-0 by Bournemouth, which kind of sent shockwaves through the club, they've been on a really good run. They've only lost twice since then, once to Derby, fair enough, and once to Blackpool, which isn't fair enough. But, you know, be that as it may, they've been on a really good run, including a 6-1 win over Reading. The recent results, they've beaten Wigan 3-1 in the last round of the Cup. They scored three past Blythe, beat Forest 3-1 as well. So, doing all right. And West Brom, you know, you just can't find a result for them anywhere, can you? I mean, they've been so poor. I mean, I don't know how they're still in 14th position. The only reason they are is because it's so congested at the bottom. They could find themselves, you know, in serious trouble if they don't start to win games. They've got Burnley next Sunday, then they've got Sunderland, they've got, you know, away from home. So they've got some winnable games coming up in the Premier League. And I just don't think this one will be one that they're they're overly thinking about. If Berahino plays, I think Berahino will score. He's priced up at 6-5, so I'll play that, him to score. But I think Birmingham might be able to win this. I think they might nick it, but I'm not really confident on it. I can't have West Brom at 11-10, and I'm just not that keen on any of the outrights. But I'll stick with Berahino. He likes playing against lower league opposition.
Almost 3-1 Birmingham to win this match. Derek, is that appealing to you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it might be a local derby. It might be a delayed kickoff here because West Brom haven't got out of Everton's box yet. They're still there. Jesus Christ, what was that? I mean, the football isn't
Pulis. He wants a point, isn't he?
Oh, clocks go forward more than Tony Pulis' right, teams. Yeah. I mean,
but point, you know, we said when we took over at Palace, he just collected points away from home.
Yeah,
and then it keeps you up, doesn't it? That's what he does.
Well, does it? I mean, does it? Does it really? I mean, he does it at home almost as
yeah,
well.
True.
38
yeah.
points wouldn't keep you up these days. His
true.
Idea is to defend in numbers, preferably the 11. And if a chance of a counter attack arises, ignore it.
Mm.
I mean, you just can't. You can't watch. Yeah, I just can't have it. That's not what football is.
Well, they're awful to watch. They are terrible.
Anti-football,
to watch.
Isn't it?
Anti-football.
Well,
yeah.
it is.
I haven't seen it for ages, actually.
yeah, I think. But great run, Birmingham. Since that, you know, that Muller and they got. I mean, they're doing really well. And I suspect, like Lee, that Tony Pulis won't be given the FA Cup as top priority given their position in the league. He's been brought in and he's being paid to keep West Brom up, not to go in a long cup run. Yeah, I think Birmingham more than a fair price here.
What about under 1.5 goals here at 21-10?
Yeah, you can see that, couldn't you?
Easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Under 2.5 goals does look shorter at 13-20. Birmingham at 14-5 to win the game. The draw 21-10. West Brom 11-10. White Hart Lane for Tottenham versus Leicester next. Tottenham 7-10 to win this one. The draw 5-2, and Leicester in the betting at 9-2. Historically, Derek, high scoring when these two teams meet. 40 goals in the last 10 meetings between the two, including 5 in the last FA Cup meeting, which was back in 2006. Leicester won that one 3-2. Tottenham, though, have won 3 straight and came from 2 down against Burnley to qualify for the fourth round, beating them 4-2 in the end. Tottenham 7-10 to win this one, Derek.
I think it's a fair price. I really do. I think there's something about Tottenham now. I mean, they were easy to write off in the first few weeks of the season, weren't they? Some bad results, some bad performances, and they needed Christian Eriksen's brilliance, and, you know, normally after the 86 minutes to get anything. But they're not making many mistakes now. And that result against Burnley in the replay, when he came from 2-0 down, he could easily have wilted there against a side that were flying, Burnley, at the time. And, you know, that was a great performance. Leicester aren't doing too badly either. You know, 3 wins in their last 5 games, all by 1-0. And, you know, but they're still not scoring goals for fun, hardly. I think Tottenham are fair price here. I've been backing them around just a shade of odds on away from home in recent weeks, and they're almost at now. You know, I think Tottenham are a very good bet.
Tottenham 7-10 for Derek.
I agree. I don't know why they're that price. I mean, you know, what Leicester, again, you know, Leicester, a classic team who, you know, who should weaken down. You know, you kind of almost think, yeah, fair enough, they weaken down, they don't need this. So, you know, Pearson's obviously got a bit of a cup pedigree in his playing days and all that. But, yeah, I liked on them. You know, all right, they had a bit of a struggle past Sheffield United the other night, but Sheffield United played very well and did what a lot of Premier League clubs don't do, which is really starve you of space. You know, they weren't that bothered about attacking, you know, themselves too much unless it was safe to do so. So, you know, it took Tottenham a while to break them down, but, you know, I like Tottenham. As long as he doesn't mess about, I mean, understandably maybe that Pochettino wanted to get Adebayor in on the action against Sheffield United. I mean, he was rubbish again, wasn't he, really? And, you know, Harry Kane was almost sacrificed because of that. He was pushed out on the wing. You know, play your top team in this to win the competition. I think Tottenham are another team who've got a great opportunity to win this. And, you know, give the fans a bit of a, you know, a day out here, because they're not going to win the Premier League and they're not going to qualify for Europe, so for the Champions League. So, you know, go for the FA Cup. Again, you know, if Harry Kane plays, Harry Kane to score and a Tottenham win would be my bet. But Tottenham to win at those prices looks good. Tottenham and Stoke double looks a nice double for me.
Yeah, it does. I like that too.
They're not completely out of the reckoning as far as the Champions League place is concerned, are they?
Yeah, they won't. They won't. I think Liverpool will probably finish higher than Tottenham.
Do you think so? Okay.
And Arsenal and Man United.
Tottenham the bet there at 7-10. It was a weird decision, wasn't it, to push Harry Kane out on the wing.
I think he was just giving Adebayor a half,
yeah.
Give him some match time, you know, because that's what, I mean, he needs to do that. You can't just leave him in the reserves, can you, or leave him, you know, sat on the bench all the time. So fair enough to try it. And to be honest, he did change it in the second half when they needed to. So it wasn't like he was bloody minded and kept him on there.
Southampton Crystal Palace next. Southampton 8-13, draw 13-5, Crystal Palace 5-1. Again, this is Saturday at 3 p.m. Southampton, Lee, mightily impressive. Won their last five against Crystal Palace as well. Palace have seemingly improved under Pardew, Alan Pardew, but it is Premier League versus Premier League, but two teams with very different qualities.
Yeah. So I, in the League Cup, I went for Southampton as my pick to win it, and they were doing so well. And you know, my belief that you know the manager would put out strong teams because he's won cup competitions in other countries where he's managed seemed to be coming true, and everything was going rosy. And then they lost to Sheffield United. I don't know if that was because they were just poor at that moment and they were lacking in confidence, or if it was because you know the message was sent out that we don't need this. I've got to think that he will put out a strong team here, the Southampton boss, and carry on where what they've been doing, because they're in a great run at the moment. You know the wins are against decent teams as well. They only scored the one goal against Ipswich but got through it. I think Pardew, given what we've seen of him at Newcastle, although we don't know if that was him or the owner. I mean, it was ridiculous how much they weakened down at Newcastle at times, but they did it under John Carver as well. I'm going to trust the idea that Southampton play a stronger team and Palace weakened down more and go for Southampton, but I'm not overly convinced. I've been impressed by Palace since he took over. He's really got them going, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, they scored four against Dover, you know, they should. Two against Tottenham and three against Burnley.
That
I mean,
was an unbelievable comeback against Burnley as well, yeah. Wasn't it? 2-0 down early on to come back and win that game 3-2.
You know, I mean, it's a tricky one for me, this. But what I'm thinking is, if all things are equal, you wouldn't be getting 8-13 of Southampton against Palace in the Premier League. So I'm going to take 8-13 in the FA Cup.
Okay, 8-13 Southampton.
I think Palace had a massive price here. Mm. You know, the Pardew factor is a worry, given what his record in the FA Cup at Newcastle. But yeah. I suspect that was more the back controller. Yeah. You know, I don't think it, you know, Pardew took his orders from him, didn't he? And he needed the goodwill of the Newcastle fans, so he wasn't going to throw away a chance of a cup win. You know, unless he's under orders to do so. I've opposed Southampton about the last 5 weeks. What a shrewd man, eh? But I've got the law on my side this week, the law of averages. They can't carry on like this. Mm-hmm. They can't. It's just daft. It just defies belief. And I think Pardew will have to go for this. I know that they're in a perilous position, you know, near the bottom. But the run they're on right now, they shouldn't be 5-1 to win this game. You know, they've beaten Tottenham in recent weeks. You know, back against Burnley. The confidence must be flying. I know that Southampton went to Palace and won 3-1, three or four weeks ago, but this is a different Palace now. And I've said before, ordinary side though they might be, they do have a couple of match winners in their side, don't they? Although one's away, isn't he, at the moment? I just know the price is wrong. I know that Palace shouldn't be 5-1 here. That's my case. 5-1 is too big.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, one thing about that 5-1 is it gives you 11-4 that Dwight Gayle scores at any time. And, you know, this guy, since Pardew's taken over, he scored in the FA Cup game, he scored the penalty against Tottenham, and he scored two against Burnley in that comeback. So that's a nice price, you know, for, you know, because Southampton haven't been exactly watertight. They conceded to Ipswich, of course, and they've been conceding goals at home. So, you know, that might be a nice little price at 11-4, and you don't even have to get involved in the outrights then if he scores.
Aston Villa Bournemouth, the final game we're going to look at this weekend. 3 p.m. kickoff on Sunday, this one. Aston Villa 6-4, the draw 2-1. Bournemouth in the betting at 2-1. Favourite stat of the weekend here, Derek.
Yeah.
You might have heard this one, you probably have. Bournemouth scored more goals in Birmingham than Aston Villa this season, which is terrific.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It's an intriguing matchup, this one. It really is. Villa just got 11 goals in 22, but they do have the fifth best defensive team in the league, and that's what's keeping their head above water this season.
Well, again, they're a bit like West Brom. You think, well, how are they not in the bottom three? You know, do they ever win a game? I haven't seen them win a game. I mean, you mentioned that Bournemouth have scored more goals than Villa in Birmingham. I think Dukla Prague have scored more goals than Birmingham. They're shocking to watch. You know, and I just can't. They should do better. I mean, away from home, I'm always prepared to have a go at them because they look like a team, you know, and to do well on the break. But at home, you just look. I mean, goals they've scored there. It's shocking. How could you back them? you know, at your prices. I know it's a Premier League team against a Championship side, and they're offered that, you know, comfortably odds against. So really, you should be backing them. Mm-hmm. But this is Villa, and I can't. Yeah. Villa at home, anyway. I think Bournemouth are what, just around a 2-1 mark. The way they're playing, I mean, the thing about Bournemouth are scoring goals. No one scored more away goals than Bournemouth this season. 32 goals away from home.
Amazing.
It's quite incredible. So, you know, they set up in a certain way. And they're going to score at Villa. And I can't see Villa getting two goals against them. I can't see Villa getting two goals between now and the rest of the season. I'm going to go for Bournemouth here, 2-1 or 19-10.
That's yeah.
Great price.
2-1 they are now. I quite fancy Villa Lee here.
Why?
I agree with Derek. I just think that 6-4 on a Premier League team taking on a Championship team at home is a good price.
Did you watch the Blackpool match?
I didn't see the Blackpool match.
Blackpool, bottom of the Championship, and in all sorts of problems. It took them till 88 minutes for Christian Benteke to score the winner. I mean, you know, you're talking about Bournemouth being at the opposite end of the table to Blackpool. The only thing in doubt in my mind against backing Bournemouth to win is the fact that they might weaken down because they're more concerned with the Championship title. And there's a bit of form, really. When you look back at teams who've had good runs in the Championship, in the FA Cup, who are doing well in the Championship, it does make them falter. But you know, we saw them against Liverpool. They gave as good as they got for a while. When they went you know, a goal down, Liverpool, you know, really did rip them to bits. It was one of Liverpool's best performances of the season. There's only six places between these two teams. One of my Derek McGovern-esque rules in the FA Cup is if you get a team from a lower division who are much higher in confidence than the team in the Premier League, then I think you've got to back them. I'm not just going to back them to win, though. I'm going to back them to win and over 2.5 goals in the match, because I think Villa could score, but Bournemouth score for fun. I could see this being 2-1, you know, maybe even 3-1. You mentioned about, you know, the 8 goals that they scored in Birmingham. In that one league match when they won 8-0. That is the same number of goals that Villa have scored at home in every single match this season, Cup and League.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to Leighton Orient 1-0, remember, in the League Cup at home. They only beat Blackpool by a goal to nil. To score 8 goals in 13 League and Cup games all season, it is frankly, it's just unbelievable.
It's abysmal, is it?
It's
abysmal.
It's almost bordering on the negligent from the manager. I mean, how can that happen? You know, they have to score goals at some point, but not in this game. I think Bournemouth are a very good side, and I think Villa will find it very difficult against them. They're tight away from home. You know, look at their last few results. The Leeds game was a bit of call that a blip. Won 2-0 at Rotherham, 5-1 at Rotherham in the Cup, 2-0 at Millwall, 6-1 at Blackpool, 2-1 at Wolves, drew 0-0 with Middlesbrough away, kept a clean sheet at Birmingham, 8-0 at Wednesday, 8-0 at Birmingham. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. They're a better team than Villa, I think. And I think they'll win. You know, Derek's gone for 2-1. I'll, by all means, go for that. But Bournemouth to win in over 2.5 is my shout here.
Okay.
I'll nap that if it's allowed.
Yeah, you can do.
Probably not allowed to have that bet.
17-5, Bournemouth to win in over 2.5 goals. If it does go into the multiple, you're more than welcome to have that.
I doubt it will.
Let's move on to the naps then. Derek, kick us off.
Right, following up my 7-2 poke last week, which I don't think we've mentioned enough.
definitely not.
Yeah, well, I was toying with the idea of Bournemouth, but I'll leave that one for Lee because he's obviously strong about that. I'm going to go for Palace 5-1 to win at Southampton.
Okay, Crystal Palace 5-1 to win at Southampton. Let me just check and see if you can put that into the double with Bournemouth to win an over 2.5. It is, so you can have that one. I'm going to go for J. Emmanuel Thomas to score for Bristol City.
He's being sucked into my idiotic mentality.
Against West Ham, I do like that price a lot. It's 21-10, J. Emmanuel Thomas to score. Got a lot to prove. Got left Arsenal, was a big name at Arsenal for a time, wasn't he? You know, early on in his career.
Been a big name everywhere he goes, mate.
expected to perform. Gone to Bristol City. Got a great record with Bristol City recently. I think they'll score against West Ham, so I'm going with him to score any time at 21-10. Just the 80-1, the treble this week. Folks.
What if this one lands?
Crystal Palace to win at 5-1. Bournemouth to win an over 2.5 goals against Aston Villa at 17-5. And I'm going with J. Emmanuel Thomas, anytime goal scorer, at 21-10. 80-1, that treble.
I've got a little bit of admin here, Derek. I wrote down 3-1 for your Arsenal bet. I think it was 3-1.
It was 3-1 when we recorded.
It was. All right, I'll go on. All right, then knock it off. 3-1.
What was Stoke?
That still puts you on.
He's trying to do maths in his head here, Derek.
£135.75, Derek.
Right.
DK is on 144 with his 9-5 winner, and I'm now on £80.84.
Wow, we're trailing by some distance then, Lee.
It only takes a week to change things around, doesn't it, when you get your tenner back?
Yeah,
that's why I think I might go for. I was thinking of going for the Chelsea at whatever price they are to beat Bradford. At least you get your tenner. Do you know what I mean? If I go from 1-8, at least I get my tenner.
Get your tenner back. Typical. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
Remember, folks, you can download this via iTunes or check it out on audioboom.com as well.
One other little thing. The games that we haven't done,
yes,
we'll cover on the Championship podcast.
You
so,
will?
Yeah.
Okay,
so we'll do all 16.
Check that out at audioboom.com as well. Thank you for listening to the Pump Podcast, and we'll be back for the Premier League action next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.